Tonight we're in Psalm 73 as we get ready to start a brand new series. I tell you, it's amazing. The Holy Spirit of God is still alive today. And He still directs if you want Him to. He still guides if you want Him to. And if you'll ask Him to show you something from the Word of God, guess what? He's going to show you. And so, you know, as you prepare for a new series and some type of teaching or preaching or Sunday school environment, then you're always asking the Holy Spirit of God, what would you have me teach? I have all kinds of things I'd love to teach, but that's not what God always wants me to teach. So you have to be open to the Holy Spirit of God. And it was not until yesterday at 3:30 that the Holy Spirit gave me clear guidance on what to teach. And I was like sweating bullets. Come on, Lord. I really need to know this so I can get it studied. But as He showed it to me, it's like all falling into place. We've seen the gates of Jerusalem as we've gone around Jerusalem and seen each of the gates and inside the city. And then we went into the wells of living water and we looked at God's wells of living water throughout the Scriptures, and what a blessing study that was for me. Give me understanding and clarity and comfort and peace and joy. And then as the Holy Spirit reveals to me what He would have me teach this next series, my eyes just get big understanding our God is so big, so amazing, so powerful, so wonderful. And there's this conjunction, this word but. We're going to study this series of but God throughout the Bible. And my, there's numerous but God moments in the Bible. But this conjunction but is some subject that I have wanted to teach for years and years. And I've never gotten the green light from God to do it. And I've sort of just put it out of my mind. I said, I guess God just doesn't want me to teach on this conjunction, the word but. And then He brought it up and it just came right flooding back. And how exciting it is when the Holy Spirit shows you something like that. Psalm 73, I'm sorry. We should read the whole psalm, but for sake of time, let's just jump right into verse 22. Psalm 73 and verse 22, the Word of God says, "So foolish was I and ignorant." My goodness, we've all been there. "I was a beast before Thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with Thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with Thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For, lo, they that are far from Thee shall perish, but Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from Thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all Thy works." Notice again verse 26 of Psalm 73, and in this little phrase, two-word phrase, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart." I pray He's the strength of your heart tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the Word of God that You have preserved for us this day, that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we hold in our hands the very Word of God. It's not the words of David, not the words of Saul or Peter or Paul or John or Luke. These are the words of God. And my, as we open them and study and look and research and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Scriptures, we realize again and again this is a living book. And we thank You for that. Bless this study, Lord. Encourage our hearts through this simple truth of but God. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. If you were a child or had children in the early 1970s, there were several educational short programs that would air on television, especially on Saturday mornings and during the after-school broadcast. These televised short programs showed us watchers, these viewers, how to learn English and history and science and math, and how it could be fun to learn them. Now, as a small child in the 70s, I didn't want to learn while I was watching TV. I was sitting in front of the TV to watch something that entertained me. But you know, as we watch these little short programs, very brief, maybe 4 minutes, 3 minutes, some of them, at the time we thought, where is my show? When is this educational theme program going to be finished? I'm out of school. But you know, the tunes from these episodes are stuck in your mind if you saw them. They were made by a company called Schoolhouse Rock. And they had programs like Them Not So Dry Bones. You ever thought about the song and the leg bones connected to the knee bone and the knee bones connected to the... That's from Schoolhouse Rock. Have you ever heard the short, I'm Just a Bill on Capitol Hill? That's Schoolhouse Rock. 3 is a magic number, teaching you the multiplication tables times 3. 41 original episodes on subjects like history and science and math, English, and how it could be fun. And of course, we didn't want it to be fun. We didn't want to learn it. But it stuck up here. I've been singing this one that I'm going to talk about for a day and a half. I had to go back and watch it on YouTube so I could get some of the words right because I couldn't remember them all, but I knew the tune. And I knew, you know the first line. It doesn't matter. You always remember the first line. And you're like, what follows? Got to go watch it. It's Conjunction Junction. Conjunction Junction was one that tried to teach young people what a conjunction was. Now, I'll confess, English grammar was not my favorite subject. Conjunction Junction was one of those 41 original episodes from the 1970s that was trying to teach children something without them knowing that you're learning something. Conjunction Junctions was one of those that tried to teach us what a conjunction was and what its function was in the sentences of our English language. It goes something like this. I'm not going to sing it for you. But Conjunction Junction, what's your function? Hooking up words and phrases and clause. Conjunction Junction, how's that function? It was a railroad yard where he used this little ditty. And he says, I got 3 favorite cars that get most of my job done. Conjunction Junction, what's their function? I've got and, but, and or, and they'll get you pretty far. That's an additive like this and that. But, that's sort of the opposite. Not this, but that. And then there's or, O-R, when you have a choice like this or that. And, but, and or, you get pretty far. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Hooking up 2 boxcars and making them run right. Milk and butter, bread and butter, peas and rice. Hey, that's nice. Dirty but happy. Digging and scratching. Loosing your shoe and a button or two. He's poor but honest, sad but true. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo. And it goes on for another page. I won't bore you with it. But that's Conjunction Junction. Now you're going to be singing it, I guarantee it. Or some of you go YouTube it and see what in the world I'm talking about because you weren't alive in the 70s or didn't see these amazing episodes. The word but is a conjunction in our English grammar, And it means it is a special function. And, but, and, or, as the song goes, are very special conjunctions, and they have a particular job. The word but is a coordinating conjunction. Coordinating conjunctions are the most popular category of conjunctions. Simply put, its job is to bring equally important ideas together. They can join words and phrases and clauses of equal importance. Now, but brings opposite things together and brings equal things together. During this new Bible study that we're launching out on, we will endeavor with the Holy Spirit's guidance and with His direction to explore through the Scriptures this conjunction. But the phrase it's often used with is the phrase, but God. They're not equal in those statements. Something is coming before, and then you have the but God and something following it. So it's opposite. God is showing up when He's needed. He's showing up when man has tried everything he possibly can try. It is an opposite of a coordinating conjunction here, is this simple phrase, but God. And we'll see through the real life experiences of various men and women in the Scriptures that they had a but God encounter. We'll explore the context and the different situations in which these individuals encountered God, and I'm hopeful and prayerful that you'll be able to relate to some of these encounters. But first, what is a but God moment? To answer this question, it's probably best to see people from the Scriptures who have experienced a but God moment. We'll just look at a few brief examples because we'll look at each of these a little more in detail. But it gives an overview of how to understand this phrase in the Bible. So who experienced a but God moment in the Scriptures? Let's look over first at Genesis chapter 20. It's not the very first time, and we'll look at that probably next week, but it's not the first time this phrase is used in the Scriptures. But in Genesis chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3, we have Abraham and Sarah. And it says in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 1, "And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, 'She is my sister.' And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and told Sarah and took Sarah." Notice verse 3. "But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, 'Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife.'" Verse 3 starts with the moment, the encounter, the but God phrase. Again, we'll look at each of these in detail, but we'll just see them in the Scriptures tonight. Look over in the book of Acts in chapter 7. For another instance of these but God encounters in the Scriptures, here we have Joseph, of course, one of the greats from the book of Genesis, but he's talked about in the book of Acts in chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, look at verse number 9. Of course, Stephen here is preaching and testifying. He's really giving a history lesson to the religious crowd. In Acts 7, 9, he says, "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt." What's those next two words? "But God was with him." It goes on to say in verse 10, "And delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house." His brothers, remember Genesis, his brothers meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. David also Hold your place in Acts. We'll be right back there. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 23. In 1 Samuel 23, David is on the run. King Saul would not like nothing more than to put a javelin or a spear through his heart. Saul is still king. David is running for his life. We come to chapter 23 of 1 Samuel. Look just at one verse, verse 14, where it says, "And David abode in the wilderness, in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand." Another "but God" encounter. Back in Acts chapter 13, my, this is a great one. They're all great, but this is talking about our Lord. Acts chapter 13, and we see Jesus here has had a "but God" moment. He is God, but He has a "but God" moment as well. Acts 13, look at verse 26. "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher." Oh, verse 30 though. "But God raised him from the dead." Amen. Amen. Look over in the book of Philippians now. A couple more. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we have Paul writing to the church of Philippi through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's giving this letter to one to deliver named Epaphroditus. And we see in chapter 2 and verse 25 that Epaphroditus had some problems. It says in verse 25 of Philippians 2, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Praise the Lord. Another "but God" moment. But there's one here that we'll look one more time in Romans 5. And this is by far the greatest "but God" moment we'll look at tonight. For it's for all mankind. In Romans chapter 5. Notice verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That was us. We were at one time ungodly. It's hard to believe, but we were. We weren't born Christians. We were born sinners. We were born ungodly. We were born in the need of a Savior. Christ died for the ungodly, it says. Oh my, look at verse 7. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We have all had a "but God" moment if we know Jesus as our Savior. So what is a "but God" moment? It is a time when God steps in, intervenes on man's behalf. And if He didn't, well, let's just things wouldn't probably turn out very good. They are the times when we would say, "But for the grace of God, I didn't see any way out. But God, praise His holy name, delivered me." So when do "but God" moments occur? We see from the brief examples above that we have looked at, they generally occur in times of great desperation, in times of great difficulty, in times of great sorrow, in times of great need. They are times when the Lord needs to step in because man has either made a mess of it or that man is in a desperate situation. When Abraham, through fear, put his own wife, Sarah, in harm's way by saying she was his sister, God stepped in and protected her even when Abraham didn't. After Joseph was rejected by his brothers and sold into slavery, he experienced many but God moments in his life, especially those in Egypt. When David was at his wit's end and running and hiding in caves from a mad King Saul, he had evil intent in his heart and mind. He experienced many but God moments in the wilderness. The Lord of life himself gave his life for mankind and was placed in a tomb. But God had other plans. He raised him from the dead. In all of life's challenges, we need to remember that Christians aren't kept from storms, but we're kept in them and through them. Christians are not kept from the storms. If somebody's told you that, I'm sorry, it's not true. We will go through storms in this life, time after time after time. So in life's challenges, in life's journey, we're not kept from those storms. But God keeps us in them, and He keeps us through them, and He will bring us through the other side. So when do but God moments occur? Well, let's just say you don't normally experience a but God moment when the sun is shining, when the birds are chirping, and when all is well with you and the world. That's not when you're going to experience a but God moment. But God moments are those that require the Lord to step in because He is the only solution. They come in the times when we have normally run out of options. Our cleverness has failed us. Our resources are depleted. Our health may be struggling. Our ability to get out of this tight spot has got up and left. So think about it for a moment. Have you experienced some but God moments in your life? If you did, and you have, I pray you have, when did they occur for you? I guarantee it wasn't when the sun was shining and all was right in your life. It was when you were low, when you were in despair, when it was a dark valley you were going through. And if you think back to when God showed up in a but God moment in your life, does the memory of what God did for you in the past help you and give you strength for tomorrow and for day? Yes, they do. That's what it's for, to build us up. If He showed kindness and faithfulness to us in the past, He's going to do the same today and tomorrow and in the future. Why in our day is it important in this COVID-19 second year pandemic? Why in our day is it important to focus on and remember these but God moments in our lives? If you're listening to the news, and sometimes I don't even recommend that, you can't help but hear the phrase, unprecedented. You'll hear, we are living in unprecedented times. We are living in trying times. We are living in desperate times. Many churches around the world are still closed to this day and have not reopened. I was talking to a preacher just last week, and he knows of a church in our area that's still closed. I can't imagine that. What are the people doing for spiritual strength? Or they're meeting in a reduced capacity. At the same time, in our country, mental health, depression, and suicide cases are ever increasing. Whether it's the lockdown steps countries are taking for this pandemic, whether it's the state regulations of demanding and mandating that people get the vaccination, or the lawlessness that is arising, or the natural disasters that seem to be up and all over the map, or unemployment, or financial pressures. It hasn't been a wonderful year or two, naturally speaking, with this COVID, has it? But if we have experienced some but God moments back here, and they gave us joy, they gave us peace, they gave us hope, they gave us reassurance, guess what God can do over here in COVID-19 pandemic and Delta variant and whatever's coming after that? He can still give us joy. He can still give us peace. He can still give us reassurance because He's still the same. He's the same back there when He met your need as He will meet your need there and today and tomorrow. The Bible says in Luke 21, in verse 26, Luke 21, 26, it says, men's hearts failing them for fear. Boy, we're there today. For looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. We aren't at that prophetic day yet. But we are close. We see the signs increasing day after day. As Pastor says, everything's not falling apart. It's falling into place. Jesus is coming. We don't need to focus on the fear. We don't need to focus on the ugliness of the world and the catastrophes of the world. We need to focus on the but God moments, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those in the Scriptures. For the people in the Scriptures are just ordinary human beings, just like you and I. They are not some super saint. They had problems, they had concerns, they had fears. They had occurrences in their life where they needed a but God moment. And God didn't fail them. And He won't fail us either. So what do we do? So what do we need in this time? We need hope. We need eyes that are locked on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to dwell on the things which bring faith and hope. And that is the why for this series on But God. So that increasing trying times, our hope and our light may increase and shine all the more. We had an occurrence personally in our lives way back, seems forever now. Our daughter was young, 1, 2, maybe 3. She had had a traumatic birth. And through that, they found that she had hearing problems. And so we had gone to the military specialist. We were in the military then, and we'd gone to the specialist and gone to the common doctors and gone to specialist of a specialist. And they said, you need to understand something. We're going to do a hearing test. But the conclusion is almost foreknown. Your daughter will lose her hearing. She is going to be deaf. And they said, we've got the machines already. We're going to perform this test, but we want you to be prepared for the outcome. Well, they did the test and took quite a bit of time. And we were young baby Christians, and we're out in the lobby waiting and praying. They come back to us and give us our daughter and say, we need to look over the test and read the test and make sure that what we're seeing is what we believe. And they come back with the test and they say, yes, your daughter has very little hearing now and probably will lose her hearing and be deaf within a year. Well, that's traumatic as young parents, young Christians. We go home and we call our pastor. He just lived not too far away, and he came over and prayed with us. And the next service came by, and we went to church, and we had the church praying because they had to have a second test in just a week or two to verify all of these results. So we got everybody we knew, which wasn't a lot of people, but we got everybody we knew praying for our daughter and for her hearing. Time came for us to go back to the military hospital and to the specialist of the specialist, and they say he's one of the best, and we're going to re-perform this test. Our machine was not calibrated exactly correct, and we need to make sure that it's functioning perfectly, and we have done that, and now the machine is ready for you and for your daughter. And they take our daughter back into the machine and have this hearing test, and they come back out and they go, we got to read the results. And they go and they consult and read the results. They're gone much longer this time than they were the first time. And they come back and they're perplexed. They're puzzled. They're like, we don't understand this. The machine was working perfectly the first time. We did some calibrations and some tests to make sure it was working first. Right the first time, and now we've double checked it. Even after we've done your test, we've checked it again, and your daughter's hearing's perfect. There's no sign of deafness. There's no sign of hearing loss. That's a but God moment. I relate back to that day many times in my Christian life, even though it was so long ago and I can't even remember the exact day. But I remember that moment when those doctors came out and couldn't explain what had happened. We could. You know what that did for our Christian faith as baby Christians? Way up. My God hears prayer. My God hears my prayer. My God is interested in me and my daughter and my wife. That but God moment was not the last. We've had quite a few but God moments in our lives. The journey is not easy, but it's worth every step. Every step that you walk with Jesus is worth it. I pray you've had some but God moments. They're special times. They're hard times, but they're special times when God shows up. Romans 15 and verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 6, verse 19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. We have an anchor, folks, that's sure and steadfast. It's anchored into the rock, not a rock, the rock of ages. There's a poem I came across yesterday. It's titled, But God. It says, I know not, but God knows. Oh, blessed rest from fear. All my unfolding days to Him are plain and clear. Each anxious, puzzled why, from doubt or dread that grows, finds answer in this thought, I know not, but He knows. I cannot, but God can. O balm for all my care, the burden that I drop, His hand will lift and bear. Though eagle pinions tire, I walk where once I ran. This is my strength, to know I cannot, but God can. I see not, but God sees. O all-sufficient light, my dark and hidden way to Him is always bright. My strained and peering eyes may close in restful ease, and I in peace may sleep. I see not, but He sees. So as we start this journey tonight and get the introduction behind us and we move into these encounters and moments in the Bible of but God, when God shows up, it's going to be a wonderful journey to rejoice with these Christians of the Old Testament, to rejoice with these Christians of the New Testament, to rejoice in Christians of today and say, but God's still alive today, and He's still the same God. And if He can do it for David, if He can do it for Joseph, and He can do it for Peter and for Paul, He can do it for me, and He can do it for you. But God moments are special moments. I pray you'll be with us through this journey as we understand God will still show up for you. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the study that You've led us to. I know it's of You, Lord. The storms of life are all around us, Lord, but You're still the God of the storm. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would bless and help us to keep our eyes on You and not on the storm. Bless, I pray, Your people in Jesus' name. Amen.